Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Houston, we got a show.
Go Loopos.
Landry Locus, you're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
I love Houston. I love the stadium. I love the fans. I just love the atmosphere.
Sports Radio 610.
Man, I tell you what, I would not rather be anywhere else in the world but with you. Shout out to all the loopholes. Shout out to all the people of Houston. It is Friday. We're going to finish this week in style. Yesterday was supposed to be opening day. We're supposed to be talking about the Houston Astros, but it's not that time, John. We're also supposed to react to the first slate of Sweet 16 games. It is not that time, but you know what time it is?
What time is it?
It is time for the OG to become an older G, because it is the birthday of the man, the myth, the legend, God, the man who's been covering sports. I don't think I didn't get your text at 4 a.m. You telling me it was your birthday, John.
Dang it.
The man who's been covering sports round here for plus decades has a birthday. John Lopez, happy birthday to you, my man.
Thank you very much. I hate you. No, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. How about that? I don't know what to say, but other than thank you, it's going to be a very interesting birthday. Going to be me and me for a while until, but definitely going to get some takeout today. I hope everybody gets takeout out there for my birthday. And I appreciate you saying that. I thought, you know, like last year, I would be able to escape without anybody knowing. Last year was a good year because nobody made a big deal about it. Everybody forgot it was my birthday. And that's why I never post it on Facebook.
I felt the tension afterwards, and I just realized I'm not going to make that mistake again. It's bad for chemistry to not wish the
there was no tension.
I could feel your pain there.
I appreciate that. Thank you very, very much, my man. I really do. But I'm just one of those guys, even when it's not like because I'm getting older. Even when I was like 10, 11, 12, and they would have these birthday parties and all this, I just kind of like, I never really, it just felt awkward to me. You know what I mean? It just felt weird, but I appreciate
you know
it.
Lopez,
I really do.
He's a lightweight, kind of creepy guy.
Yep. Thank you for that birthday.
I always say whenever people try to make a big deal about my birthday, being born is not an accomplishment. I didn't do anything. I didn't do all the work.
It was nothing.
I did nothing. I was just born. I celebrate life every single day. I think it's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be with the people of Houston, but I got to wish the OG a happy birthday as we get things started off here. As far as the takeout goes, yes. Yesterday I had me some takeout.
Oh, I saw your account, man. I saw your post.
I'll tell you what. I went to Fleming's and before you sit there and hit the bad and bougie. You order $100, you get $40 off. So you're basically ordering, eating at a normal steakhouse when you go there. You know what I mean?
How about that?
So yeah, you they have a special going right now. $100 gets you $40 off. And have you ever? I don't know if you do this now at your age, but like, have you ever been younger and you justify all of your splurges? By like, in other words, like yesterday, the reason I justified going to Fleming's and getting steaks is number one, it's awesome. But number two, yesterday would have been opening day. And if I would have gone to opening day, which I always do, I would have probably spent $60 on beer. Like there is a chance I would have spent at least $60 on beer, especially on opening day, because opening day is where you want that stadium beer. It's where you splurge on beer. So my justification for treating myself and eating an expensive dinner was it was either beer or steak. And now I'm just going to justify it. In other words, you don't save it. You just spend it somewhere else and justify it.
No, that's what everybody does. You don't have to be young to do that. You don't have to be a kid to do that. Oh man, that's 100% true, and that's a great point. You know, because yeah, you actually saved money yesterday. You can justify it.
Yeah, you saved money. You didn't get to watch the Astros, and I want to tell you, man, like a lot of people are upset. But what is the thing Bill O'Brien says to justify every single thing he does? No matter what he does, what does Bill O'Brien always say he does things for? What is the reasoning?
It is the best interest of the team.
Ding, ding, ding. And I think that the Astros and the Astros fans that are upset they didn't go to opening day, including myself and John Lopez, because we love mingling out there on opening day. I think in the best interest of the team, the Astros not playing yesterday is actually a good thing for the team. And ESPN went as far as to actually list three reasons why the Astros benefited from opening day not happening yesterday more than any other team in the NBA. I'm going to throw these reasons at you, and you tell me if these are truly reasons that benefit the Houston Astros. Number one, Justin Verlander has time to rest his groin injury. He was supposed to be the opening day starter, and he is now resting.
That is absolutely positively the biggest one. I mean, we talked about it last week, and I just feel like, you know, he might not miss a start, you know, given the shortened season. We'll see. I mean, it's a pretty significant surgery, but it's definitely going to help him.
The number two reason that the opening day not happening was in the best interest of the Astros, Lance McCullers. He's coming back from Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. If the season is shortened, then McCullers, the wear and tear that Lance McCullers would have post-surgery decreases. So you don't have to – it's not going to be as much of a grind. It's not going to be as nitty-gritty for Lance McCullers. So another guy from the rotation, according to ESPN, benefits, and that's another reason it's in the best interest of the team that the Astros didn't play yesterday.
Yeah, I could buy that one as well. I think those are all good points so far.
And reason number three, numero tres, for all my Spanish speakers out there.
Numero tres.
The Astros get a mental break from the avalanche of animosity they were buried in during spring training. And furthermore, there's more. The Red Sox investigation is going to be revealed before the start of the season. So not only did the Astros get a mental break where it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, they're going to have some company and they're going to have the Red Sox with them. So while it sucks that we weren't out there downtown mingling with the loopholes, mingling with the city of H-Town, watching some Astros baseball, it was actually in the best interest of the team for the Houston Astros not to play yesterday.
And I'm glad that last one was put as get a break from, because, you know, it's going to come back and it's going to come back full force. The Astros, unless they ban the Red Sox from baseball, the Astros are going to be the face of this scandal. We'll see what happens with the Red Sox. They finished, according to MLB, they finished the investigation with the Red Sox. So I don't know exactly at what point they're gonna drop the hammer publicly, but it's just a break. It's still going to come back.
Yeah, it's coming back. It's on a break. By the way, in relationships, the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, working at home with you, for you here on Sports Radio 610, 713-572-4610 to get in. If you listen, you are a loophole. Shout out to all the loopholes. Do you believe in the let's take a break in relationships? That's a polarizing topic, J-Lo.
That's a breakup.
Why do people do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on. Let's take a break is not I'll see you in a month. It's I don't want to see you anymore. I mean, it's are we being real here, as they say? I mean, that's all that is.
The people that are taking a break and then they're just slinging it around for 3 weeks and then they just go back to each other. What is that?
Yeah, it's not like let's see other people for a while. What the hell are you doing?
What are the biggest lies and biggest myths and worst ideas in everyday life? I think one of the biggest lies that we tell our kids, and I think we need to stop doing this, is you can be anything you want to be. No, you can't. I mean, you know pretty early on if Johnny's going to be in the NFL, NBA, and you know pretty early on if Jimmy's going to be the president of the United States and if he has that potential. We need to quit telling kids they can be whatever they want to be.
Well, okay. Yes, technically you're right.
At a certain age, I'm not talking about taking a 3-year-old and putting him on the knee and telling him that he can't. But at a certain age, we got to be honest with the kids and quit telling them they can be whatever they want to be.
Yeah, no, I you're right. Like at some point, you're going to know that your kid is not going to be an astronaut, you know, because he's just not all those B's and C's in math, you know, in ninth grade. That's a pretty good sign. You're probably not going to be an astronaut. So I think what it means is that they don't finish the sentence properly. You know, you can be anything you want with your talents. You know what I mean? because like,
what if
like
they don't somebody, have any talents?
No, everybody has some kind of talent, right? But like let's say that guy that wanted to be an astronaut as a kid and he's getting nothing but B's and C's in math and science is actually quite the wordsmith. You know what I mean? Like he can really turn a phrase. He's a great writer. He connects with people. You know what I mean? Well, maybe he can be, you know, a screenwriter or something. You know, you can be anything you want to be. He doesn't have to just be writing, you know, blog posts with his talent. Maybe he can take that talent and move on to something really, really big. You can be anything you want with your talents is what people should say.
The Astros have been accused of lying, and we're talking about lies that they tell kids. This is the other lie that is told to kids. This is the biggest lie teachers tell. And my mom was a teacher for about 40 plus years. This is a total lie. When a teacher goes up in front of the class, and shout out to all my teachers. You know what's crazy? Like, a lot of times people think teachers enjoy having time off. Maybe during the summer, but teachers do not like being away from their kids right now. They want to finish the school year with their
100%.
Kids. So are not enjoying themselves. This is very hard for the teachers. But the number one lie that teachers tell, I'm just gonna be real with you. And any teacher who denies this, you are lying. When a teacher goes up in front of the class and they say, "All right, are there any questions?" There's no such thing as a dumb question. That, my friend, is a lie.
There is.
Junior year, I was sitting in science class, and one of my teachers said, "There's no such thing as a dumb question." My buddy Sean Huff raised his hand and asked a question, and my teacher goes, "I stand corrected. That was a dumb question."
That's great. I love that. I love that.
That's OG awesome. John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, working at home with you, for you on Sports Radio 610. Did you see the story yesterday about Tillman Fertitta, the 70% of the employees? I guess it said laid off. I think there's getting to be a technicality. I guess furloughed is the appropriate term, which I'm not familiar with in the service industry. Can you tell me what furloughed means?
I think furloughed means that they're out of work, but they're going to have a chance to get their job back. You know what I mean? It's just a furlough. It's not like a firing.
Okay, so they're going to have to look for some part-time
work.
Like
a leave of absence.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you are one of the people furloughed with Tillman Fertitta, go to sportsradio610.com/dedicatedtohouston. We got job openings. We got local restaurants that you can go to during this time. Order takeout. I understand a lot of people, it's probably not the time for them to order takeout because they're out of work. So, you know, don't push it. If you got to be responsible right now during this time, then, you know, don't order takeout. And if you are at home right now with us on Sports Radio 610, hashtag 610 home highlights. The OG asked me this morning, what jerseys do you have in your closet? I went upstairs in the closet, looked at some jerseys. Man, I got rid of a lot, but I still have a few. I still have enough to be dangerous.
So you know, I noticed that. I thought at first, you know, my first thought was, isn't he a little old to have all those jerseys still? You know, but then I thought, you know what? If they're meaningful, then go ahead, knock yourself out. So I think it was pretty cool that you did that. I was bored out of my skull yesterday afternoon and into the evening. But it's a benefit for us. It's a benefit for us and the loopholes. And by the way, if you listen, you are a loophole. So don't think you have to file any paperwork or anything. Just listen and you're a loophole. I went through every jersey number in Houston Texans history. Everyone who's ever worn a jersey in Houston Texans history. I thought it would be fun to test the jersey guru. And I'm giving you credit, man. I'm giving you credit because you are really good at jersey number history, particularly 90s NBA basketball. But I'm going to go through Texans history, all right? Periodically over the show. I mean, we got a lot to cover today. But periodically over the show, I'm going to ask you questions like, who was the most famous person to wear number five in Texans history, all right? And
Joe
I'm going
Webb.
To test you.
Joe Webb, baby.
Incorrect. Incorrect. I'll give you another guess. Three well-known Texans wore number five. Who was the most, now this is my judgment, but I think most people would agree with me. Who was the most famous person to ever wear number five?
I'm sticking with my Joe Webb all day.
Brandon Whedon wore number five for
1 year.
Oh, he's
more famous than Joe Webb.
He
is. More famous than Joe Webb.
He won games. He was a starting quarterback a little bit.
Joe Webb did everything.
You know who else wore number five? And most people don't even remember that he actually played for the Texans. This was so much fun for me. I mean, it took a while, but it was so much fun. You know who else? The three most famous people who ever wore number five were Brandon Whedon, Joe Webb, and Sexy Rexy Grossman. He was here for like a month.
He was here for like 2 weeks, dude. Oh, yeah. I remember Rex Grossman. That was in the Leinart time. Remember that?
Right.
That was trying to revive Matt Leinart.
So I got all kinds of cool things that I found in this, including this. I want you to ponder this. Don't Google it. There is a Houston Texan. When we come back, I want you to try to tell me this. There is a Houston Texan who wore a well-known Houston Texan who wore three different jersey numbers as a Texan. Ponder that.
All right, 713-572-4610. If you want to get in on that as well. Speaking of the Texans, the most extreme change anyone can go through is happening to one of the best to ever do it. Plus, according to a Super Bowl winning GM, the Texans were actually doing the right thing with DeAndre Hopkins before they shipped him to Arizona. We'll give you the latest next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Apparently the Texans were doing the right thing before they shipped DeAndre Hopkins to the Arizona Cardinals. We'll tell you what that is in just a sec. But J-Lo, you asked a trivia question before. What famous Texans worn three different jerseys? I think that's probably one of the easier questions you're going to ask today.
Really?
I'm assuming, and I promise you I didn't Google this, I'm assuming it's got to be T.J. Yates just because he's had multiple stops with the Texans, right?
Are correct. For bonus points, name two of the three jersey numbers that he's worn.
13, 2, and 6.
Atta baby. On the button. That's why you're the jersey king. I'll get you another one at the end of this segment that just kind of either trivia or a question for you. It's interesting stuff.
It was tough seeing him, the final time around 2017, the 4-12 season. Now a member of the coaching staff. So you do have T.J. Yates there with the Houston Texans. Did you see the Tom Brady news about the jersey? Chris Godwin, the wideout for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Pro Bowler last year. He's giving Tom Brady number 12 out of, quote, respect. Would you have held out and tried to get some bread if you're Chris Godwin? Or are you automatically just going to hand over number 12 to TB12?
Out of respect, I get it. It's kind of hard to criticize a dude for doing that. I mean, it's Tom Brady, right? But wouldn't you just, like, wait first, see if he makes an offer before you give something away for free. See if he wants to make an offer, even if it's for a charity. You know what I mean? I would not blame a player. I mean, it wouldn't be the most honorable thing to do, but I would not blame a player on his rookie contract, mind you. And that's what Godwin is still. He's still on his rookie contract, I believe. Either waiting it out, or maybe saying, you know what?
Show me the money, bro.
Pull off low six figures. Pull off high five figures, and it's yours. Why not? Here's the thing.
Give me a new car. Give me daddy wants a new car. Tom Brady, your wife is a supermodel. You've made millions. Give me $100K. Let me get a new whip. Let me get a whip that I can say Tom Brady bought me this car.
I'm giving him respect. I understand it. I think it's honorable. But I also wouldn't say this guy, a rookie, who knows how long you're going to be in the league, if he just said, you know what, I'm not going to ask for the world here, but hit me with 90K, you know, give me high five figures and it's yours. Because here's the thing. Tom Brady has to wear number 12.
No, you can't do that. He's TB12.
Yeah.
He's TB12.
Yeah, that's his brand. That's his. It's his entire career.
Man,
it's
how weird
logo.
Would that look if he didn't? How weird would that look if he didn't?
Yeah, you're not going to be TB13. You know what I mean? So I mean, he has to wear number 12. I mean, you talk about a seller's market. I mean, so I give him his due, but I would not have blamed him if he said, you know, peel off a few for me.
What if Godwin would have said, hey, look, I'm number 12. I've done more for this organization than you. Go back to number 10 like you wore at Michigan. Go back to number 10.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's probably what he would have done, right? But he has to wear 12 in the NFL.
Yeah,
I mean,
it
you know.
It wouldn't look right. It wouldn't look right.
Yeah.
I'm still wondering what he's going to look like in a Buccaneer jersey. I think it's going to be one of those things that kind of hits me. It's going to be really, really strange. Quite honestly, did Andre look weirder or stranger in a Titans jersey or a Colts jersey? Which one looked stranger to you?
For some reason, the Colts. And
the
I don't
Titans,
know why.
See, for me, it was the Titans.
Yeah.
I don't know why. First of all, sometimes Titans jerseys just look weird. They look like they try to do too much sometimes.
They're
sometimes
very busy.
They look really clean. Sometimes they look like arena football jerseys. But for me, the one that hit me the most was Andre in the Titans jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, it was the Colts. I don't know why. Maybe because that's the big rival. Although the Titans are the rival too. But still, it just looked weird to me. I feel like, you know, Tom Brady, getting back to that. You know, if he, I think he would have easily, you know, peeled off some money for that dude. I think he absolutely would have.
Yeah, and I think he would have understood. I'm taking your
and he's going to look fine in that jersey.
It's a big deal, though. Like, a lot of guys really do need a certain jersey to play their best. Like, they need a certain jersey number. Have you ever seen the movie The Fan with Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes?
Mm-hmm.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Where the one dude is wearing Bobby Rayburn, who is Wesley Snipes' character's jersey, and Robert De Niro kills him in the sauna and then cuts the number off of it, like he has it branded on him and cuts it off. That's a good movie. I might watch that after the show. Robert De Niro's done some interesting stuff. Speaking of Andre Johnson, before DeAndre Hopkins was traded, it looked like there was a possibility that when all was said and done, we'd be talking about DeAndre Hopkins as the best receiver in Texans history. I think Andre Johnson's place is safe now because Nuke needed a few more good years. He was on pace to dethrone Andre, but he needed a few more good years. And believe it or not, John, it's been about 11 days since DeAndre Hopkins was traded from the Houston Texans to the Arizona Cardinals for what's widely regarded, not just by local media types, but by national media types, by Loophole/listeners and fans, as the Texans taking less than market value. But I want you to hear this quote from Eagles general manager Howie Roseman. He had a conference call yesterday. Interesting.
Yeah.
A Super Bowl winning GM had a conference call yesterday. I didn't know they were allowed to do that. So that was very nice of him, first and foremost. But Howie Roseman said, because the Eagles need receiver help. They've needed receiver help for a while. They've had a lot of injuries. And quite frankly, Carson Wentz doesn't have the weapons that he needs out there in Philadelphia to succeed. But this is what Howie Roseman, the GM of the Eagles, said. He said that the Texans offered different terms in the DeAndre Hopkins trade than the Cardinals, which means they offered more. I actually heard this after Nuke was traded. I talked to a couple people who talked to some front office people, and they told me that when the Texans were shipping DeAndre Hopkins, and I don't know how much they were shipping him, but these people told me that the Texans were originally asking for more. So a first round pick or something like that, what you would consider to be fair compensation for DeAndre Hopkins. The Texans were originally asking for that, but the Cardinals apparently got a lower price.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how much of this I believe. Now, obviously, you know, you've got some sources that have told you that it was a higher offer. What this tells me, if we're taking this at face value and the truth, what this tells me is, and I don't know if this is good or bad.
That's my thing because either you panicked and you traded him for less than you originally were asking for, or it's not true and you legitimately thought that you were getting the best value possible for DeAndre
Hopkins.
That's
not
I don't know if this
going.
Makes him look good or bad. Oh, you take me somewhere else.
I've got an altogether different theory on this, and it's a little bit frightening, but maybe, I don't know, maybe it's something, I don't know. Let me just tell you what it is. Bill O'Brien thinks that 40th overall pick is good value. Because keep in mind, the Eagles have a much lower spot in the draft. And so I think Bill O'Brien, by making this trade with the Cardinals, was like, okay, we'll take on, you know, we'll take on David Johnson. They could have taken on a player from the Eagles, no doubt, you know, that they liked it, maybe even a running back. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, I think what struck me is he's like, hey, 40th overall, that's only 18 spots behind the first round, you know, behind our pick, you know, what our first round
eight
pick
spots behind the first. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, that is a little bit worrisome. If he values a 40th overall pick as good compensation with David Johnson, as good compensation for DeAndre Hopkins, I might have a problem.
The other thing is, you can sit there and you can try to say, well, it's eight spots out of the first round and you can get a good player on day two. I do think that there is an advantage to, after day one is over, you can evaluate players overnight and then you can go into it almost as a new day in day two. So I do think that's good. But also, in the first round, you get that extra year of team control. You get that fifth year option. So I think that's a major, major difference. But let's say if the Texans had traded DeAndre Hopkins for Philadelphia's 21st overall pick, I don't think I would have been that upset with it. I mean, it would still suck that Nuke was gone, but that first round pick would have been interesting. And you talk about, you know, the pick switch that the Texans did as well. They flipped. They decided they were going to trade their fourth rounder for Arizona's. I think they're kind of disrespecting the Arizona Cardinals and acting like the Arizona Cardinals aren't going to improve at all. Like the Arizona Cardinals are just going to be one of the worst teams in the league, and that's going to be, you know, a pick in the 30s or something, or, you know, whatever, at the front of the fourth round. I don't think that they're respecting enough just how much of a year-to-year league it is.
Right, exactly.
First of all, I didn't think it was necessary, but second of all, I think they're overvaluing that. That's just my opinion, though.
All right, you ready for another Jersey question, Jersey King?
Yeah, I don't know why you're giving me this title.
When we come back... Our guy Chris Myers, right?
Shout out to Chris Myers.
Love that dude. Love that dude. He wore number 55, right?
He did.
He also wore another number as a Houston Texan. What was that number?
John Lopez spitting out the trivia. That plus something nobody's talking about when it comes to DeAndre Hopkins. You talk about extreme changes. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be going through that. And I have a list. Could I interest you in a list, J-Lo, of the 10 most intriguing local storylines following the quarantine? The 10 things that I am most excited for coming up next. All right, the 10 most intriguing sports storylines following the quarantine in just a sec. We're going to go Numero 1 through Numero 10. The OG John Lopez, the birthday boy, myself, Landry Locker, and Figgy Fig holding it down with you, working at home with you, for you, here on In the Loop. John, you asked me a Chris Myers question before the break. I'll be honest, I don't know. I only know Chris Myers
was
wearing
number
55.
Here.
I only know he's wearing 55 here. But I do remember in Denver, he wore like a number in the 60s and a number in the 70s. But I do not know what other jersey number Chris Myers wore besides 55 here.
Well, you're getting warm. You're getting warm. I think a texture.
Would it be 78? I know he wore 78 in Denver.
Nope, but he did wear one in the 60s. He wore, 62? I guess it was when he, I don't even remember this. Yeah, it was 62.
He wore 62 that in Denver. I know that.
As a Houston Texan. All kinds of cool things when you're muddling around looking at everyone who ever wore every jersey in Houston Texans history. I'll have another question for you here in a little bit.
There's something nobody's talking about in regards to this DeAndre Hopkins thing.
Nobody's talking about guys.
You want to talk about an extreme life change and an extreme change in atmosphere in work? DeAndre Hopkins is going from working for, pretty much, Bill O'Brien, the teapot, as you call him, the guy that is obsessed with tough, smart, dependable, the guy that, according to reports, according to Albert Breer, was not a fan of DeAndre Hopkins not practicing, A guy probably not known as a very fun coach, if you will. Not a very fun coach to play for. Is that fair?
Not a bundle of laughs.
He is going to play for Cliff Kingsbury now, a coach who allows people to have text breaks during meetings. So you go from Bill O'Brien to Cliff Kingsbury, John Lopez.
What is that like? Going from Bill O'Brien to Cliff Kingsbury, is that like going from Tim Tebow to Johnny Manziel? Is that like from dating Tim Tebow to dating Johnny Manziel?
I'll turn off on you, bitch ass.
Exactly.
I think it's like going from having a conversation with Roseanne to having like a conversation with Martha Stewart or something like that.
Right.
Like from going from like really, really extreme to like just soothing and calm. I think that's crazy.
I think it's like
how different this is.
I think it's like having a plain oatmeal for breakfast to a Sunday brunch at a nice hotel.
Oh, so you're saying it's an upgrade? Offensively, well, I think the hamster is an upgrade.
In terms of that. Hey, by the way, can I mention something that I feel dumb that it only occurred to me now? Okay. But I want to mention this. I'm curious what the Loopholes, our listeners, think. 713-572-4610. You've mentioned a couple of times over the last week or so, since we've been doing these shows remotely with our listeners, you know, what's going to change post, you know, coronavirus and stay-at-home orders and everything. And we've talked about a few things. You know, one thing that occurred to me last night, are selfies with celebrities going to change?
I think autographs.
Think about it.
Autographs, selfies with celebrities. I think all of that's going to change.
I mean, have we seen the last of? And I know there's always going to be outliers, but have we seen the last of like selfies became the new autographs?
Yes.
I mean, selfies were became new autographs.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. And have we seen the last of selfies being the dominant thing that people do when they meet a celebrity?
I think celebrities are the most the ones most in danger with this thing, you
right?
Because everybody
right.
goes up to them. So I think celebrities are going to be a lot more cautious with this. So I could see it might be more of a rare thing now, and that you're not going to see Lance McCullers walking down the third baseline before the game, taking a selfie with everybody. You could be right.
And I feel like, you know, celebrities have a say in this now. I mean, and you know, you're walking around and somebody comes up and says, "Hey, Landry, man, I love you, man. Let's," you know, and it happens, you know, when we go out on events, you know, can we take a picture together? Do you feel that's different now? Do you feel different about that?
I will never get to the point in my life where if someone wants to take a picture with me, I say no.
Right.
I'm not. I could never. It's such an honor to even have that to where I'll never get to that point. So
it's just interesting. Everything's changing now, and it got me to thinking. I wonder how this is going to impact selfies.
Selfies.
I think the dapping people up will change.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
gonna be more
I said
fists,
that.
Right?
Yeah,
more
yeah,
fists.
Figgy, you've seen me
fist
dap
sandwiches.
I'm a dap up. I'm a dap up dude. So my lifestyle is going to change significantly. I don't know, man. I might just go back to it. I've been doing it for 3+ decades, so I might as well keep doing it. But
only fist sandwiches for me.
Yeah,
nah,
that's right.
Nah, you gotta bring a little more than that, Figgy. Yeah, bring a little more than that, my man. The 10 most intriguing local storylines following the quarantine. Let's cuss and discuss these. I got 10 things that sports fans in H-Town are going to look forward to, or what I'm looking forward to the most after this quarantine is done and sports begin to come back. Starting with number one.
Okay.
Will Deshaun Watson's thoughts on the organization become more clear? We've seen the tweets. We know fans are frustrated. We know that media types are criticizing the Texans organization. Context clues show that Deshaun Watson is not pleased with what's gone on in the offseason. Will his thoughts about the organization become more clear as we hear more and more from him?
I think the answer is an easy yes, because it kind of already has, hasn't it?
Well, we haven't had like a direct quote. He's quoted song lyrics, you know?
Right.
So
right.
I could see Deshaun coming in and saying, look, I just quoted song lyrics. Obviously, I'm not happy to see DeAndre going, but I'm here to play football. I'm here to win. I'm going to give it everything I have. As long as I'm a Houston Texan, I'm going to play for whoever the coach is. A lot of people point back to when Deshaun said that he would play for Bill O'Brien. He loves the guy. I never looked at that as if Bill goes, I go. I looked at it as, I'm a good soldier. I'm Deshaun Watson. Whoever the coach is, I'm going to play my ass off for him. Bill O'Brien's been my coach 3 years, so I'm going to give it everything I have on the field. I did not look at that like some people looked at it, where he's just – it's a screaming endorsement of Bill O'Brien. How many players in the history of the NFL – you've covered it for a while – have just come out and said, nah, this coach sucks. I don't want to play for him. I can't name many, if any.
It's happened. Off the cuff here, I can't name any that had, you know, just flat out, you know, said, I don't want to play for this guy, or he's awful or whatever. But I know it's happened. I mean, I remember, you know, having this happen, you know, in the past.
Second most intriguing storyline post-quarantine here in H-Town. What will Bill O'Brien's first draft class look like? And is a receiver going to be selected at number 40 overall? The draft will go on for the NFL. I'm very happy about it. I don't care how GMs feel. You've had a lot of time to get ready. Sorry you don't get a few extra interviews. Just do your homework and go out there and do your thing. What will Bill O'Brien's draft class look like? No first-round pick. And are the Texans, in fact, going to take a wide receiver at number 40?
I think the second part of that question answers the first. Bill O'Brien, offensive mind, lost DeAndre Hopkins.
Offensive what?
An offensive guy.
Okay. All right, I'm just asking.
Feeling the heat, and he's going to draft a wide receiver. That's what it's going to look like. Now, I'm intrigued what the second round pick is going to end up looking like, because if it's another offensive guy, I mean, all hell's going to break loose around this town. It really will.
Question number three, the most intriguing storyline post-quarantine here in H-Town. When will the Astros debut, and what should the MLB format be? So we don't know when the Astros are going to take the field. Let's not even answer this, because there's a proposal for what the MLB format should be. I want to get into that at 11 o'clock, because I think this is the most of all the potential changes or all the proposals that have been thrown out there about a sport. This one excites me the most, John. So let's just get into this one at 11 and let's go to number four. I think you're going to like this too. I've okay. mentioned this as a possibility, but this excites the hell out of me. Question number okay. four. Most intriguing storyline post-quarantine here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. What impact will the Red Sox punishment and report have on the Astros and their backlash? MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said that the investigation into the Red Sox has concluded. They're going to announce what they found, what the punishment will be for the Red Sox before the start of the season. What impact will this have on the Houston Astros?
I got to be honest, unless it's like a much, much stiffer punishment with a lot more evidence, you know, than what the – and a lot more elaborate, maybe I should say, than what the Astros did. The Astros are the face of this, man. I mean, the Astros, because they did it, they were in the World Series this past year, and there's all the banging trash can videos and all that. It's going to be hard. You know, John Boy doesn't have anything on the Red Sox. You would have thought if he had something like that, it would have already come out. I think it's not going to have it's going to have an impact, but not a very big impact.
It's the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig, working at home with you for you on Sports Radio 610. How is the NBA going to finish their season? This is question number five. How are they going to finish their season? And from a Rockets perspective, will James Harden find his groove? He's going to have to play better than he was playing before the season was put on hold. Because if James Harden plays the way that he was playing at the start, the Rockets aren't going to be much of a threat in the postseason. So how are they going to finish their season, and will James Harden find his groove?
First of all, I think in terms of games, I think they're it's going to be I think they're going to go right to the playoffs. I know that LeBron James came out yesterday and said he is totally against that, but I think they're going to go right to the playoffs. If they have games,
awesome.
It'll be no more.
Awesome.
It would be no more than 10 games, right? 10 or 15.
Man, that would be so cool, dude. That would be so cool if they just went right into the playoffs.
I think they will. I think they will.
Question number six. Will Laremy Tunsil get his extension or not? We're counting down the most intriguing storylines post-quarantine here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Of course, the local ones, because we do localize it here. Will Laremy Tunsil get his extension or not, J-Lo?
Yeah, I mean, he's got him over a barrel. I'm a little bit unnerved by the wait. I mean, we should be getting some kind of reports or smoke signals or something by now, I would think. But ultimately, he's going to get it, because if you pile on top of the DeAndre Hopkins thing, Laremy Tunsil not getting an extension, oh man, it's going to be a mess.
Question number seven. Can Justin Verlander continue to hold off Father Time, and can Zach Greinke be a viable Gerrit Cole replacement?
Yes, and maybe. I think Verlander's got another year like last year in him. I mean, the guy's just amazing.
So a Cy Young caliber year?
Well, I mean, yeah, given the fact – let me put it this way. If he starts when everyone else starts – you know, if he's well enough to pitch when Major League Baseball starts their season, then yes. Greinke, I think, has been prone. Now, he's been a Cy Young, you know, candidate, no doubt about that. But I don't know if he's going to be as dominant as Gerrit Cole was last year. I don't know if anybody could be.
All right, question number eight. If the NBA season resumes, what are the Rockets going to do during crunch time of playoff possessions? These are the kind of conversations that I think I look forward to the most when stuff returns. But it's always the question, right, in the playoffs, who's going to get the last shot? Who gets the last shot? The Rockets got two ball-dominant guys in James Harden and Russell Westbrook. We've seen them have some success in the regular season. We've also seen them struggle in the regular season. The Rockets are playing a new style. When it's crunch time and there's under 2 minutes left or something like that in the playoff game, what are the crunch time possessions going to look like for the Rockets? Is Westbrook going to be the aggressor? Is Harden going to be the aggressor? Is there going to be a fair balance of the two? What is that going to look like?
This is where I'm going to give it to Mike D'Antoni. I trust Mike D'Antoni. And you've heard me say this before, and it's an old saying that a lot of people subscribe to. In crunch time, you don't call plays, you call players. Now, they got two players, right? They got two players that can make that. So I think I'm going to trust Mike D'Antoni to either manipulate the set, you know, the play, or find the weak spot in terms of double teams or best defenders by the opponent and get that guy the shot. So I just trust D'Antoni. That's a little bit of a cop-out, I know. If you said, well, no, you have to pick one or the other, I'll still go with Harden. All things being equal, I'm going to go with James Harden. But I think in this case, D'Antoni's just going to use his brain and his great knowledge and manipulate it or find the best matchup.
Well, Westbrook's got those Sam Cassell big balls, though, so sometimes when he gets the rock, you ain't getting it back. Question number nine, is this finally going to be the year of Carlos Correa? Are we finally going to see Carlos Correa, the most talented guy on the Astros, put it together, go out there, do his thing, and look like the MVP candidate we've been predicting him to be for a long, long time?
I'm just becoming a big fan of his, so I'm going to say yes. I like the way he swatted his wife's shot mercilessly in a backyard game of one on one. So I'm going to say yes. How about you?
Yes, I do. I've become the Sparkle Prince has grown on me, and quite frankly, the Sparkle Princess has grown on me too. I think she's gotten less extra with the marriage, so it's actually the opposite.
You ready for another jersey trivia?
Well, I got to give you the final question. Final question.
Oh, give me one more. I thought that was the final.
Will we finally get to meet Jack Easterby? Will Jack Easterby finally speak? B.O.B. said that he hopes we meet Jack Easterby. I just want to give you a little taste of Jack Easterby quotes since the DeAndre Hopkins trade was made. He is on Twitter. Yeah, he's been quoting a lot of poets and stuff, but these are some Jack Easterby quotes. What'd you say he could do? You said he could produce signs for TJ Maxx. Is that what you said?
when you read his tweets, like the contents of those tweets, I know I've seen carved into a wood plank at TJ Maxx.
At TJ Maxx.
Exactly, that people hang up in their homes. They're kind of corny, and Everybody seems to have one. I think Jack Easterby's quotes, his tweets, could be carved or painted onto a wooden plank and hung at TJ Maxx.
All right, hit me with the jersey question. We'll answer it coming back in the break, J-Lo.
All right, there is only one jersey in Houston Texans history, jersey number, that only one player has worn. You know, from 1 to 99, multiple players have won every one of those numbers. There's one number that only one player has worn. What is that number?
Oh, wow. That's going to be a tough one. That's the OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, Sports Radio 610. The Astros didn't play yesterday, but there is an idea floating around about the MLB season that I think is the best idea that I've heard in a long time, maybe ever. We'll tell you what it is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.